Slips, Trips and Falls, a Guide. Track 1, Introduction. Welcome to the Macular Disease Foundation Australia's audio presentation on Slips, Trips and Falls. This presentation is current as at January 2014. Please use this guide in conjunction with the Foundation's series of audio guides on low vision. All audio materials are available free of charge from the Foundation as a CD, and they can also be downloaded from the Foundation's website. The audio presentation comprises 11 separate tracks. Track 1, Introduction. Track 2, Reasons and Risk Factors for Slips, Trips and Falls. Track 3, Reducing Personal Risk Factors. Track 4, Maintaining Mobility and Health. Track 5, Overcoming the Fear of a Fall. Track 6, Ensuring Safety at Home and in the Community. Track 7, Improving Safety When Out and About. Track 8, Creating an Emergency Plan. Track 9, Managing a Fall. Track 10, A Safety Checklist. Track 11, Conclusion. For CD listeners, you can move to the next track at any time by selecting the Next Track button on your player. Falls are the leading cause of injury-related hospital admissions for people over 65, and low vision doubles the risk of falls. This guide is intended to help people with low vision create a fall-free environment. Track 2. Reasons and Risk Factors for Slips, Trips and Falls. Slips, trips and falls can happen in the home, in the workplace or in the local community. They can result in painful sprains, broken bones, cuts or other injuries. As we age, natural changes in our body increase the likelihood of a fall. Our physical well-being can decline, resulting in poor balance, decreased muscle tone, reduced mobility and compromised vision. Low vision, including the central vision loss associated with macular disease, can result in impaired balance and increased risk of falls. About 50% of falls occur in the home or immediate surrounds. Most are preventable once a fall-free environment has been created. The benefits are obvious. By avoiding slips, trips and falls, people can maintain a healthy, more independent lifestyle as they age. There are two main areas of risk for slips, trips and falls that people with low vision, as well as their family, friends and carers, should be aware of. The first is known as personal risk factors. The second is environmental risk factors. That's the person's surroundings at home and in the community. Track 3, Reducing Personal Risk Factors. First, let's explore the personal risk factors that relate to a person with low vision, and that could increase the risk of a slip, a trip, or a fall. Age-related body changes happen slowly, often so slowly we don't even notice. One day, a person might notice it's more difficult to get out of a lounge chair they've had for 20 years. The lounge chair hasn't changed, but they have. Perhaps their muscles have weakened, their joints may be a bit stiffer, or they may have lost some sense of balance. On top of that, over time, they may have less feeling in their feet and legs, or more pain. Interestingly, the shape of our feet slowly changes with age as well. With vision loss, the ability to judge distances and depth decreases, as does the ability to cope with sudden changes in light levels or glare. Individually or altogether, These age-related changes result in slower reaction times and can make it difficult to concentrate on several things at the one time. There are other health problems that can increase the risk of a slip, trip, or fall. For example, a person who has suffered a stroke, has Parkinson's disease, arthritis, diabetes, low blood pressure, dizziness, or even poor nutrition will be at greater risk. People with osteoporosis, a condition that causes the bones to become fragile and brittle, should be particularly aware of their risk factors because a fall is likely to result in a bone break or fracture. Even short-term illnesses like the flu or surgery can temporarily increase the risk of a fall. People with low vision can take the following steps to lower their personal risk. Firstly, regularly visit the doctor to ensure any other medical conditions are well managed and medications are reviewed. Also, take time to talk to the doctor about any health conditions. Don't wait until they become bigger. And have regular checkups with an eye health professional to ensure the current level of vision is being maximized. Ask a low vision service provider about vision aids and technology to make the personal environment safer. On an everyday basis, a person with low vision should take care when they bend down, and they should stand slowly after lying down or sitting and steady themselves before they begin to walk. They should allow adequate time for their eyes to adjust to different levels of light, especially when going inside after being outdoors. And finally, if they are unwell, a person with low vision needs to be especially careful with everything they do. Track 4. Maintaining mobility and health.
With deteriorating central vision due to wet macular degeneration in both my eyes, I find it really difficult to read the numbers on buses as they approach. The guide dogs gave me a cane and provided me with training on its use. Now the buses stop when they see my cane, and the bus driver announces the bus number. The cane also helps me gauge the height and the width of the steps and recognise rough surfaces and gaps in the walking areas. The cane really has enabled me to remain active.
Physical activity keeps us healthy and reduces the risk of falls. Let's take a look at how mobility can be maintained and even improved with regular activity. As we age, physical fitness is essential for everyday tasks, such as getting in and out of chairs, carrying the shopping, or lifting the grandchildren. Yet people with low vision and those who feel unsteady on their feet may be tempted to do less walking over time. Consequently, muscles can get weaker and joints stiffen, lessening our ability to be well balanced. With regular exercise, physical fitness can be achieved, along with improved balance, muscle strength, mobility, and reaction time. As a result, general health is improved and the risk of an injury following a fall can be decreased. Being physically active also helps manage chronic conditions such as high blood pressure, arthritis, diabetes, and depression. There are many activities to keep fit and healthy at the right pace. These include walking, swimming, tai chi, yoga, dancing, or home or group exercises. There are also team sports for people with low vision, such as blind golf, bowls, and cricket. Just getting out of the house for cards, bingo, or a local community event keeps us active. To find out about the activities available in your area, contact the local council or seniors group. For information on sporting organisations and activities for people with low vision, call Blind Sports Australia. Mobility training is available for people with low vision who require assistance to navigate around the home, neighbourhood, or wider community. Contact the Macular Disease Foundation Australia For more information on 1-800-111-709 and for contact numbers for the above. Now let's look at the importance of food for strong bones. A well-balanced diet, including plenty of water, especially in hot weather, is important to our general health as we age. So too are good vitamin D and calcium levels. As we get older, we need vitamin D to help absorb calcium, and higher levels of calcium to help build and maintain strong bones. It is important for a person with low vision to discuss their bone density and strength with their doctor. Sometimes the doctor will decide a supplement is necessary. The Foundation has a separate audio called Nutrition and Supplements for Macular Degeneration that gives detail on eating for eye health. Now let's talk about medicines. Some medications have side effects that increase the risk of a slip, trip, or fall because they can make a person feel drowsy, confused, unsteady, or dizzy. Here are some ways to reduce the risks. Firstly, a person with low vision should keep a list of all prescription and non-prescription medicines and talk to the doctor about any supplements being taken. This will ensure there are no contraindications. If several different medicines have been prescribed, it is important to ask the doctor about a home medicine review with the pharmacist to help sort them out. To ensure the correct dosage is taken at the appropriate time, the person should ask the pharmacist about using a pack designed for people who are blind or who have low vision. Instructions for medicines should always be followed, and the medicine cabinet should be cleaned out once a year. The person with low vision should be encouraged to ask for help if labels are difficult to read. Medication can affect different people in different ways, so it is important to advise doctors of any concerns or unusual side effects once a new medicine is started. Finally, alcohol can react with some medicines. That makes it important to check the labels or ask the doctor or pharmacist for advice. With age, feet can change shape and lose some feeling. They can become swollen and painful. This can alter the way we walk and affect balance. Some shoes or slippers can also affect the way we walk and increase the risk of a slip, trip, or stumble that leads to a fall. To help reduce the risks, a person with low vision should see the doctor or podiatrist if they have painful or swollen feet, tingling or pins and needles. Additionally, they should consult a doctor or podiatrist if they have any changes in the shape of their feet, such as bunions. A person with low vision should purchase comfortable, firm-fitting flat shoes and slippers with rounded, low, broad heels and slip-resistant soles that grip. Avoid wearing poorly fitted slippers or walking in socks. And finally, if they have difficulty finding suitable shoes because of foot problems, a doctor can provide a referral to a podiatrist or physiotherapist for assistance. Track 5, overcoming the fear of a fall.
The Association for the Blind advised me on how to organise and adapt my home so that it is safer for everyday living. That has enabled me to maximise my sight and minimise my risk of slips, trips and falls.
If a person with low vision has experienced a bad fall, it is natural for them to feel worried about falling again. Some people fear a fall even if they haven't yet fallen, because they feel unsteady or they worry about the impact of an injury. Unfortunately, the fear of a fall can cause people to restrict their level of activity. They gradually do less and less, then lose their confidence and mobility. There are many, many things a person with low vision can do to help overcome the fear of a fall. In the first instance, they can talk with a low vision specialist, doctor, psychologist, social worker, or counsellor about how to regain confidence. These specialists can address any concerns, particularly if the person's fear is very strong or if they are feeling lonely or isolated. A person with low vision can undertake orientation and mobility training where they will receive the support, skills and technology required to safely get out and about. And they can consider adopting an aid to help increase confidence and mobility. Did you know that 50% of falls occur on level surfaces in the most commonly used rooms at home? With this in mind, when a person is diagnosed with low vision, it is a good idea to review the home and surroundings and the way things are done to make everything as safe as possible. For example, regularly used items should be kept in places that are easy to reach, rather than high up in areas that require a stool or ladder. Only the most sturdy furniture should be used by the person with low vision, a chair with solid armrests, for instance, which will make it easier for the person to sit down and get up. Clothing should also be chosen wisely. Long, loose clothes or dressing gowns can catch on things and cause an accident. Above all, a person with low vision should make an emergency plan for getting help in the event of a fall. Track 6, ensuring safety at home and in the community. It's not only our body and abilities that change as we age, our homes do too. Often we don't notice the wear and tear because we have lived there for many years without any problems. Yet this wear and tear can increase the risk of a slip, trip, or fall. When diagnosed with low vision, it is a good idea to ask someone who is unfamiliar with the person's home and surrounds to pay a visit and check for hazards. This is especially important if the person with low vision has lived there for a long time. Someone who is new to the home may spot problems others have become accustomed to. If problems are identified, it is important that the person with low vision carefully considers whether they can rectify the problems on their own or whether help is required. Here are some general hazards that can be quickly attended to. Firstly, remove or secure loose items to keep floors and walkways free of clutter. Keep fans and heaters away from walkways in the middle of rooms. Coil and tape cords and cables to a wall or under furniture. And repair any torn or stretched carpet or curling mats and firmly secure loose floor coverings. Slip-resistant backing is a good idea for mats and rugs. Fit a draft excluder to the bottom of the door rather than using a door sausage that can be tripped over. And keep quilts, bedspreads and curtains off the floor. Ensure dropped food is picked up and liquid spills are carefully wiped away as soon as they occur. Attach slip-resistant rubber tread on stairs and highlight the edges with a contrasting tape. It is a good idea to use contrasting tape and colours to highlight furniture, walls, changes in floor levels and other obstacles. And avoid heavily patterned floor coverings because they can make it hard to see small obstacles or the edges of steps that blend in with surroundings. Importantly, don't polish floors. You'll only make them more slippery. Now, let's head outdoors. When minimizing risks in outdoor environments, try to remove anything that throws shadows across paths. Choose outdoor mats with sloping edges and keep paths clear of moss, slime, and fallen leaves. Have cracks and uneven areas repaired as soon as possible. It's important to ensure that items are not left lying around the garden. Instead, for example, ensure the hose is rolled up and garden tools are put away. Dogs and cats like to be close. So to reduce the risk of a fall, a person with low vision should always check on where their pet is before they move. Above all, it is important for a person with low vision to use common sense and act immediately to rectify any problem or risk factors. And never to be afraid to ask for help, even for the simplest of tasks. There is no doubt that a well-lit home and surrounds can help reduce the risk of a fall. Here are some simple steps to take to maximise lighting in and around the home. Firstly, place lighting in dark areas and especially in frequently used areas. Ensure light switches are easy to reach and use two-way light switches in corridors, on stairs, or in rooms where there is more than one entry. At night, consider leaving lights on or using low voltage lights in the passageway, as well as sensor lights in outdoor areas. And during the day, reduce glare by using curtains or blinds on the windows. A person with low vision should avoid poorly lit areas and always turn the lights on before they walk around. They should keep a light or torch within easy reach of the bed and take a pen light with them when they go out, just in case extra light is needed. A person with low vision should allow time for their eyes to adjust when they walk from light to dark areas and vice versa. A good tip is to have a chair positioned inside the house and close to the door. That way, when the person comes in from outside, there is somewhere to wait while their eyes adjust to the light. People with low vision can find that glare is a problem when they go outside during the day. Sunglasses or fitovers and a hat can help. There is plenty that can be done to help a person with low vision remain upright and avoid the risk of a slip, trip, or fall. Here are some simple ideas. If possible, install handrails in the bath, shower, toilet, and other difficult areas. Use a seat in the shower or bath if it is convenient and safe, and ensure the person with low vision takes great care if there is a hob or step to get into the shower. Use non-slip mats in wet areas such as the shower and bathroom, and if a new home is being purchased or a home is being renovated, choose non-slip floor coverings throughout. Also, avoid using talcum powder on tiles, vinyl, or wooden floors, as it makes them very slippery. A person with low vision should take their time and use handrails whenever they are available, especially when walking upstairs. And they should avoid anything that involves getting up higher than floor level. If it is absolutely necessary to do so, ensure the stepladder is sturdy and always take great care. Track 7, improving safety when out and about.
Before I leave home, I go through my checklist of aids to make sure I'm prepared. I have my visor, cap and fitovers to reduce glare, my magnifier and magnification glasses in case I need to read something, my monocular for distance viewing, and my identification cane. It sounds a lot, but it makes life easier.
Remaining physically and socially active is especially important as we age. Here are a few recommendations that can help people with low vision safely get out and about in the community. Keep any mobility aids, visual aids, glasses, and hearing aids in a familiar place, ready to go, and don't forget to take them. When out and about, a person with low vision should pay particular attention to their surroundings and, in particular, take notice of unsafe surfaces, obstacles, animals, and children. A person with low vision should allow extra time and take extra care on public transport. To avoid unnecessary stress, They should have their fare or ticket ready before they board, and if taking a bus or tram, they should ask the driver not to move until they are seated. If a hazard is noticed in a public place, it is a good idea to report it to the appropriate authority. Many councils and shopping centres are grateful to be informed, and this information may also prevent someone else from a fall in the future. Track 8, creating an emergency plan. Even though most falls don't result in serious injury, many people are unable to get up without help. The damage done by any fall will depend on how, where, and when we land. It also depends on the strength of our bones and skin and how quickly help comes. Interestingly, most falls happen from standing height. If the fall is from any extra height, even a single step, the level of damage will increase, especially if something is hit on the way down. Additionally, falling outside in very hot, cold, or bad weather can stress our bodies, especially if help is slow in coming. All of this makes it important to think ahead and make a plan to manage in the event of a fall. This is particularly true for a person with low vision if they live alone or are alone for long periods of time. An emergency plan can help the person with low vision feel more confident and in control, and it will reassure family and friends. Family and friends should be involved in making the emergency plan so they know what the plan involves and how they can help in the event of an emergency. The aim of the emergency plan is to get help as soon as possible. This will reduce the impact of the accident and minimize any distress. A good plan of what to do in the event of a fall or emergency will include how to call for help and how the help can get to the person who has had the fall. There are many types of devices a person with low vision can use to raise the alarm. For example, a mobile phone can be used to dial 000. There are also devices and personal alarms that initiate a call for help when activated. A person who lives alone should consider engaging someone or a special service to call and check on them at the same time every day. That person or service needs to be able to get into the home. They may need a spare key or have access to a key kept by someone who lives nearby. The emergency plan should include a list of people or organisations that can be contacted in the event of an emergency. Be clear about which number is to be called in different circumstances to ensure the right type of help. The emergency plan should be kept in key areas such as the wallet, on the refrigerator, or next to the phone at home. Importantly, the persons in case of an emergency contact should be clearly marked. Track 9, managing a fall.
After a foot operation, I attended a local falls prevention program and they taught me balance and strength exercises. They also gave me movement tips to help prevent falls and they showed me how to get up safely if I did have a fall. I found the course very helpful and now I feel more confident while I'm out walking.
In the event of a fall, it is important to do the following. Stay calm and don't panic. Catch your breath and regain your composure. When ready, check your body. If you are not badly injured, think about getting up. However, if you are injured, if for example you suspect a broken bone, you should stay where you are and put the emergency plan into action. If there is no serious injury, find a sturdy piece of furniture such as a chair, that can be used to help you stand. From the floor, you should slowly roll onto your side and crawl or drag yourself to the chair. From a kneeling position, you should put your arms up onto the seat of the chair, bring one knee forward and put that foot on the floor. You should then push up with your arms and legs and pivot your bottom around. Then sit down on the chair and rest before trying to move again. Finally, assess your injuries and call for help if required. If it is not possible to stand up, it is essential that you remain calm and check your body for injuries. At this stage, it is also important to work to the prepared emergency plan. Take time to think through all the possibilities for attracting attention, getting help, or moving. The patterns that people in the local area live to and the activities that take place around you will often be well known. As a result, it is likely that you will know the ideal time to call out to attract attention. You may be able to slowly and carefully get to a phone or a place where you can be noticed. All of this will depend upon the circumstances and level of injury. While waiting for assistance, you should try to stay warm and, if possible, gently move around to stop one part of your body from getting too much pressure. Once assistance has arrived, it is vital that you seek professional medical help to treat any injuries. Following a fall, it is important that you talk to your doctor about the experience and the possible causes. Family, a friend or neighbour should also be advised of the fall. Following recovery, it is useful to reflect on the incident and identify the reasons or contributing factors that resulted in the fall. Then, take positive steps to minimise further risks in the future. Track 10, a safety checklist. Now that we have discussed various ways to reduce the risk of a fall, let's run through a quick safety checklist. If no is the response to any of the following items, it is strongly recommended that changes are made. Firstly, are the floors free of clutter? Are all carpets and mats flat with slip-resistant backing? Are all cords away from walkways? Are spills cleaned up as soon as they occur? Are the lights bright enough to see clearly? Are stairs well lit? Can you see the edges of steps clearly? Are there handrails in the bath and shower? Can items that are regularly used, such as kitchen utensils, be easily reached? Is the telephone within easy reach? Is furniture arranged so you do not have to stretch or lean too far? Can a light be turned on before getting out of bed? Can you get in and out of bed easily? Do you wear low, comfortable shoes and slippers with slip-resistant soles? Does clothes fit securely without dangling cords or hems? If a walking aid is used, is it kept within easy reach? Can it be used easily, and is it in good condition? Are paths and gardens well lit, in good repair and free from trip hazards? Are emergency numbers easy to access and near the telephone? And finally, do you have a personal alarm or carry a mobile phone? Track 11, Conclusion. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation on avoiding slips, trips and falls. It is one in a series of audio presentations available from the Macular Disease Foundation Australia. Also available in this audio series are presentations on A Guide to low vision aids and technology, assisting family, friends and carers of people with low vision. There are also audio guides on a range of macular diseases and nutrition and supplements for macular degeneration. The Foundation produces an annual research update, translated publications, and a quarterly newsletter that are also available in audio format. All audio guides and written publications are available for download from the Foundation's website, www.mdfoundation.com.au, or can be ordered as a CD free of charge by calling the Foundation on 1-800-111-709. This audio guide is a free service provided by the Macular Disease Foundation Australia. The Foundation is a national charity that relies upon donations and the generous support of the community to provide services and fund its programs, including its investment in research. Disclaimer: information contained in this presentation is considered by the Macular Disease Foundation Australia to be accurate at the time of recording. While every care has been taken in its preparation, medical advice should always be sought from a doctor. The Macular Disease Foundation Australia cannot be liable for any error or omission in this presentation or for damages arising from its supply, performance or use, and makes no warranty of any kind, either expressed or implied, in relation to this presentation. Thank you.